Good afternoon, it's 12 o'clock and welcome to the MoneyWeb at Midday Show. My name is Ryk van Niekerk and this show is brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business. Well, it's an interesting day on the markets. The JSE is down nearly 1% following some aggressive sell-offs late last night in the United States. And apart from the gold sector, all sectors seem to be in the red. Well, let's first look at some corporate news. We saw the release of financial statements from Nedbank and Liberty this morning. Nedbank saw headline earnings per share up 2.8%, but this number was hit by losses at the group's African business, Ecobank. And if Ecobank is excluded, the headline earnings would have been in the area of in the range of about 8%. The share price is down currently 1.3%, which is slightly more than the market. And I'll speak to Nedbank CEO Mike Brown in a few minutes. Insurance group Liberty also reported numbers, headline earnings up 8%. The company is in the midst of a restructuring, and we'll hear from Liberty CEO David Monroe in a while exactly where this recovery process is. I'm also going to speak to Chantel Marx, investment analyst at FNB Securities, regarding the markets. But first, let's just look at those markets. And if I look at the screen, it's not a pretty sight. On the JSE, the all share is down 0.8%. The resources and industrials are down virtually 1 percentage point. The financials are down 0.7%, and gold is up 2.2%. Let's look at Europe. The FTSE 100 down 0.6%. DAX is down 1.7%. The CAC 40 also down -1.4%. Earlier in Southeast Asia, the Nikkei down 2.5%. Shanghai down 0.6%. And the Hang Seng also down 1.5%. Looking at currencies, the US dollar is trading against the dollar at 11.85, against the pound at 16.32, and 14.54 against the euro. The gold price, $1,317. Brent crude, $63.80. Platinum is $960. And the capital on the capital markets, the R8186 trades currently at 8.14%. On the line, Chantel Marx, investment analyst at FNB Securities. Chantel, welcome to the show. It's not a pretty sight what we're seeing on the markets today.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to be fair, it's not really South Africa's fault. It seems to have flowed through from a global market, in particular the US, after Donald Trump announced late last night, well, in South African time anyway, that they will be imposing trade tariffs on steel and steel products as well as aluminium. And really some fears in the market that this could actually spark some sort of a trade war. And you can see the entire market is positioned for a risk-off type episode, with gold actually the only thing doing well today. Just as a side note, apparently Bitcoin is not a proxy for gold yet. It is also actually down today.
I see on Bitcoin, the volumes of Bitcoin trades are down significantly, and that's one of the reasons why the price is so depressed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the market just fell out of love with Bitcoin a little bit after that flash crash that we saw in January and continued weakness into Feb. There was a little bit of a herding effect and a hysteria around Bitcoin towards the end of last year, and probably just investors coming back to earth a little bit and kind of assessing what it really is that they're investing in. Cryptocurrencies, by no stretch of the imagination, have been tested as asset classes over a significant period of time. And remember that Bitcoin's value lies in whether or not it will be used as a method of payment at some point in the future. So the market is maybe taking a step back from cryptos for now.
Yeah. Just coming back to Donald Trump and these import tariffs, are we seeing market jitters here? Or do you foresee some structural changes in the way markets will perform this year?
Yeah, I mean, this really does throw a spanner in the works, because the expectation was that markets would continue to do well this year and that we'd only start seeing a slowdown in economic growth towards the middle of 2019 and into 2020. But this certainly throws things off a little bit. A trade war is actually always counter growth, and it will also be anti-positive market movements. So it all depends on how this plays out, whether or not they'll actually go ahead with it, how the Fed will respond to it, because, of course, this messes with the Fed's ideas around what they would like to do with interest rates as well. If there's some sort of a trade war scenario and growth is impacted, it won't be optimal to raise rates for the Fed, but they'll also be limited towards what they can do to the downside. So it really, it's quite an awkward situation at the moment, but we'll have to see how it plays out before we can make comments with any certainty.
Just looking at specific stocks, ShopRite hit another 52-week high today, up 2.4%. Currently at 263 Rand, as well as Santam, a new 52-week high. Only a handful of shares are actually trading higher, but ShopRite and Santam have performed quite well in recent times.
Yeah, I mean, Santam released results yesterday that came in way ahead of market expectations, and we saw a very strong improvement in the underlying the underwriting margin in the second half of last year. And then we also saw a good increase in gross written premiums, which is, of course, more or less their top line, so their sales line. So surprising the market positively there, and things looking good for Sunlum at the moment. And then, of course, that will also support Sunlum. For ShopRite, I think that investors are kind of looking for exposure to SA Inc. still, with the expectation that a renewed consumer and business confidence, consumer confidence in particular, will result in greater spend at a company like ShopRite. So at ShopRite, at Checkers, Hungry Lion, and their furniture stores. So just kind of positive sentiment there. And, of course, ShopRite not looking as expensive as it did in the past relative to its peers. So just kind of getting some support from sentiment there.
Thank you, Chantal. That was Chantal Marx. She's an investment analyst at F&B Securities.
MoneyWeb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors. Through our Click and Advisor offering, advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. To find out more, visit www.moneyweb.co.za.
An interview I did earlier with Mike Brown, he is, of course, the CEO of Nedbank, who also reported results today. Nedbank released annual results today. It was for the year to the end of December. The group reported an increase of 2.8% in headline earnings per share. It was, however, hit by losses at Ecobank, the group's African business. And if these losses are excluded, the headline earnings per share would have been up by 8%. On the line is Nedbank CEO Mike Brown. Mike, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Let's just start with Ecobank. It has been a negative drain on the Nedbank results. What happened this year?
Yeah, so in short, the losses that we took on Ecobank were actually from their fourth quarter in 2016. We account for those one quarter in arrears, which meant all of those losses were in Nedbank's first half numbers. Our first half numbers were actually down 2.9% in total. And then in the second half, we returned to overall year-on-year growth being up 2.8%. And really pleasingly, ETI has now had three quarters in a row of positive contributions to profits. So, you know, clearly we've worked really hard alongside the management teams at ETI and our fellow shareholders on the turnaround story at ETI. It's going to be helped somewhat by much stronger growth now in Nigeria, that economy having come out of recession. So we certainly think that the negative impact that ETI has had on Nedbank's results is now a old story. And going forward, ETI is probably likely to be the strongest contributor to earnings growth in Nedbank in 2018.
The local operation, you know, if Ecobank's impact is excluded, it was up around 8%, which compared to what we saw from Absa yesterday is a pretty decent performance. What are your impressions of this performance?
Yes, we certainly thought that 8% up on managed operations was a respectable result in a year that's had an enormous amount of volatility. Just think around, you know, the various rating downgrades, and, you know, large corporate events, particularly towards the end of last year. So we were really pleased to be able to have managed operations up 8% in that sort of environment.
Where were the core areas that performed above expectations?
So I think in particular for us, if you look at our clusters, retail and business banking had a very strong year. They grew their earnings 7% year over year and improved their return on equity. Also really pleasing to see that we increased the customer base of Nedbank, so more people choosing to bank with Nedbank, and they launched a number of really great digital products, particularly in the app environment. So great performance in RBB. In our corporate and investment banking business, slightly slower revenue growth than we would have liked. You know, what you saw was large corporates postponing decisions, waiting for the December elections. But we had a great risk management experience in CIB. And a number of the provisions that we've raised in previous years, we were able to either get more security or get settled, and we're able to unwind some of those provisions. So CIB, a really good risk management performance. So those, I think, would be the two standout performances.
Reading your statements, it's clear that there's a big focus on technology, especially consumer-facing technology. You've got the new Nedbank Money app out, the Nedbank Private Wealth app, the Curry app, chatbots, and the several others. How important is it to invest in those front-facing type of technologies, especially in the light of new niche banks like Michael Jordan's Zero Bank coming to the market? How big is your focus on that?
Look, we've had an enormous focus on that for a long period of time, so it's not something new for us. We've been particularly pleased with the uptake last year with the Nedbank app, and we've had more than 400,000 downloads in the couple of months that it's been out there. The Nedbank Private Wealth app has been ranked in the top six in the world in terms of an overall whole view of your private banking experience. And just to give you a sense from a Nedbank point of view, is we would spend around about 2 billion rand a year on developing new technology to improve our customer experience on the one hand and to improve our operational efficiencies on the other hand. So it's a really exciting time, actually, to be part of a big bank that has the firepower to be able to develop and grow this technology.
2 billion rand, can you put that in perspective for us? Is that mostly software development, or is it new systems you actually buy in from the outside?
It's both. I mean, we generally follow what we call a best of breed strategy, so we would not look to develop all of the software ourselves. We would look to try and buy in the best of breed from the external environment and then connect that into our systems using a service-orientated architecture, but the vast majority of that is being spent on front-facing client experiences. Mm.
Then lastly, we've seen some political changes in recent months, and there's a renewed optimism about where South Africa is going. And in your statement, you say you may even see improved performance that adhere to your medium-term goals, which is GDP growth plus CPI plus 5 percentage points, which should put your target around 12% this year. You know, to move from 2.8% to 12% could be a significant increase. Do you think you'll be able to return to that level this year?
That is the guidance that we've given to the market of effectively growth greater than or equal to GDP plus CPI plus 5. And for Nedbank, we think that really comes from two places. Firstly, in South Africa, change in sentiment, slightly higher economic growth means our customers will be investing more. It means some of the big projects, take for example the renewable energy projects that we've been working on for many months and didn't land any in 2017. If those land in 2018, that will give us a boost. So certainly we expect our managed operations to have better revenue growth. But the largest contributor to Nedbank's earnings growth in 2018, we believe, will be the ongoing turnaround of ETI, given the challenges that we had in the 2017 base.
Well, just finally, there's a lot of talk currently of expropriation of property without compensation. Of course, that will have a massive impact on the banking system if it is, applied in any significant way. What are your thoughts on this?
I think in short, everybody in South Africa, I believe, understands the need for some form of land reform. The challenge is nobody knows exactly how to do it or how it will work. And what we have right now is a statement that says that there will be exploration of land expropriation without compensation in a manner that doesn't harm the economy or food security. And, you know, right now that is open to a very, very broad range of interpretation. So certainly from a Nedbank point of view, we aim to be a very active participant in this process to ensure that we have an outcome that is well thought through and in the best interests of our country.
Thank you, Mike. That was Mike Brown. He's the Chief Executive of Nedbank. I see we've got Liberty CEO David Monro back on the line. David, welcome to the MoneyWeb at Midday show. As I've said earlier, you took over in May last year, and you had a massive job of returning the business to profit growth. You reported 8% HEPS growth. Are you happy with that?
Hi, Raik. Yeah, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to have a chat. You know, 8% growth is off a low base and was a combination both of the performance of our operations and of our shareholder investment portfolio. And in truth, our operating performance was weaker than last year. So there's some challenges still in our business, but I'm very happy that we have a plan in place to deal with this and to start turning our company around.
I've read through the statements, and one thing that stood out for me is that it is a very, very complex business. Of course, you're in the insurance industry, which is a very technical and complicated business or sector. But one of your focus areas is to focus on to reduce the complexity. How quickly can this happen?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a business that spans many, many years, has contractual relationships with our clients that span, you know, often decades. And so there is a big challenge in trying to avoid complexity creeping into your business. In Liberty's case, we certainly have seen that complexity increase through over the last few years and decades in some respects. Complexity increased because of the nature of what Liberty had to do. The innovation we built for the market, the pioneered new products, have all brought with them their own level of complexity. And the time now is for us at Liberty to try and remove those layers of complexity and actually return our business to being simple and capable of delivering exactly what we offer and promise to our customers.
Yeah, that's the plan. How far are you down the line to achieve that?
Well, we've started with the thing that counts the most, which is the experience that our customers and financial advisors have with us. And in truth, you know, the most important place to start is really enabling financial advisors, and we've got a tired workforce of around 2,500 agents, making sure that actually the world that they occupy is the complexity is removed. So that's where we've started, together with the experience that our customers have when they directly engage with Liberty through our underwriting processes and through our claims processes.
You also state in your statements that you have several targets, value of new business margins to between the 1 and 1.5% range, the growth in embedded value to exceed 12%, and return on investment improvements with a medium-term range of between 15 and 18%. These seem to be aggressive targets. How far are you off these?
I think in each instance, Rake, we are below the target, but we felt as a leadership team that it was very important to give the market and our stakeholders the confidence that we have as a management team that we are determined to turn this business around. And so in each instance, we've given a range that we feel reflects a movement and progression towards improving the health of our business. I don't think in any instance do we think these are the end points, but we've put in a plan that seeks to turn around the business in the immediate time frame and restore the long-term sustainability of our business through the next 3 years through to 2020. And so one should look at these ranges in with that lens, with the expectation that we would want to move above those ranges once we have the confidence that we've turned the business around and that we've built a level of sustainability into what we do.
2018, we are in March already, believe it or not, but we've kicked off the year with a nice boost of confidence due to a changing political environment. Do you think that will flow through to the business this year?
I think it's such an exciting time to be in South Africa again. And, you know, we've been through what I would describe as 8 lean years, given the global economic environment and our own challenges in South Africa as a whole. And in the last 2 years or so, we've really missed the benefit of a global upswing. So I'm very excited about South Africa at this point in time. And I feel the most important ingredient in financial or economic progress is actually present now in South Africa, which is confidence and positive sentiment. And, you know, that really has, I think, a powerful impact on this market segment that we are most focused on. We have the largest market share in, which is the retail investment market segment. And I think that can be therefore a benefit to Liberty and I think more importantly to South Africa as a whole.
Thank you, David. That was David Monroe. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Liberty. Well, that's unfortunately all we have time for. Just a last glance at the markets. On the JSE, main indices are down around 0.8% to 1 percentage point. The only outlier, gold mining, up 2%. Currently, the rand is trading at 11.85 against the dollar, 16.32 against the pound, and 14.55 against the euro. That's where I need to say goodbye. And this show was brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business. From myself, Ryk van die Kerk, thank you for tuning in.
Numerology studies tell us that numbers have symbolic meaning. Number 8 stands for success, 4 is stability, and 3 represents advantage. These qualities, over and above trust, ethics, and leadership, are embraced by CASA, the leading accounting, auditing, and tax business designation underpinned by ethical standards, delivering responsible business leadership to take your business to number one. Because business is more than just numbers. CASA, leaders in business.